Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald Review, dated December 6th, 2016. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with an article headlined, Pop Go the Artists. This was written by Tim Kaine, H&R Entertainment editor. Things old and new converge downtown this weekend, but for just a few hours. I move, Decatur artist Peggy Beatty said. I want it to be right now. We said, let's get this out of there. It just happens to be at holiday time. In a concept new to Decatur but burgeoning around the country, Pop Local, a pop-up store, will be downtown Friday, December 9th and Saturday, December 10th. The shop is located in the Haynes and Essex Building, a downtown fixture since 1902. Haynes and Essex closed its doors in May. The idea for the pop-up Artists Arts Store was launched in a discussion between Beatty and fellow artists Jenny Cowgill and Shaney Goss. Quote, it's something I've wanted to do since I was little, Beatty said. I see a need. I go to crafts fairs and markets and look at Scentsy and see vendors who are selling these pre-made things. I wanted to have something with just local Central Illinois artisans. Quote, we want to utilize some of these vacant spaces. It's not always going to be here. This just happens to be the first one. Beatty's description of being allowed to use the space was, quote, I talked to Scott Striglos, the building's owner, and he gave me the keys without charge. Building co-owner Shannon Striglos said that was a fairly accurate description of what happened. Quote, I knew a couple of the artists, she said. They talked to me and there was no hesitation. It's a big building. There are a lot of options. There's an additional draw to the location. Quote, we'll get people who will come in just for the nostalgia of seeing the place again, Beatty said. Quote, it's Haynes and Essex at Christmas, Shannon Striglos said. That's such a big part of the season for so many people. I expect they will get people coming in just to look at the inside and have some memories. Both days will have distinct feels. The 15 artists will set up Friday morning, and the shop is open 5 to 9 p.m. Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. The Friday opening will feature wine and cheese for customers, while Saturday features donut bites, coffee, and hot chocolate. The 15 artisans represent just a portion of those interested. Beatty said the waiting list is double that. She acknowledged the Decatur pop-up doesn't fit the precise definition of the term as found in larger cities. Quote, if this were Chicago, she said, we'd just put the word out and people would be here. Nevertheless, Decatur has responded in impressive fashion. Quote, I'm still blown away by the buzz we created, Beatty said. It's awesome. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we were sitting at the Lincoln Lounge and we put something on Facebook. By that night, it was already trending. We had 1,000 people react that night. This will be happening at the former Haynes and Essex building in downtown Decatur. Entry is the westernmost doors. There are a couple of pictures with this article, and I'll like to describe them. One shows Peggy Beatty, who is shown in front of a table of handmade body products, which will be among the items for sale. Another photo shows handcrafted ornaments on a tree, and those will be several holiday items on sale at the shop. The final photo shows the outside of the building where signs are posted advertising the pop-up art shop, open December 9th and 10th in the corner area of the former Haynes and Essex building. Another entirely different subject is featured on the first page. The headline is, "Cities' Sewer Rates Will Be on the Rise," and this was written by Chris Lusvardi. Sanitary sewer rates will start increasing in May after the Decatur City Council approved a plan Monday to generate funding for required repair work. The council approved the multi-year sewer rate increase at the same time it set the amount of its property tax levy, with hopes the tax rate for next year will remain largely unchanged. Quote, "We're hoping the tax rate will be relatively flat as compared to last year, as we've promised," City Manager Tim Gleason said. The property tax levy was set at $24,943,558.32, which Gleason said includes all the money the city plans to collect from taxpayers. The rate will be determined when the Equalized Assessed Value, or EAV, is finalized and divided among taxpayers, he said. The current rate is $1.63 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation and is expected to only change by a few decimals, said Greg Ziantara, the city's finance director. The property tax rate was raised last year as the average owner of a $100,000 home currently pays a total of about $445 to the city. The tax levy includes amounts for the Decatur Police Pension, Decatur Firefighter Pension, Decatur Public Library, Decatur Municipal Band, General Fund, and debt service payments for all general obligation debt due in the fiscal year covered by the levy. With council approval, the city is planning tax abatements worth $11,080,558.32, bringing the net tax levy of $13,863,000 closer to where it was this year at $13,524,997.73. The total levy for this year was $22,320,344.13. The sewer rate increase is expected to cover the approximately $70 million worth of work needed in the city's sewer system, Gleason said. It would address identified issues and avoid further federal regulation. Quote, "None of us want to do this, but it's required," Councilman Pat McDaniel said, while asking about what it would cost the city not to comply with U.S. Environmental Protection Agency mandates. Public Works Director Rick Marley said the focus is on putting together a plan that can accomplish what is needed for the city. Quote, "People seem to be understanding this is what we have to do," Councilman Chris Funk said. After a short discussion, the council unanimously approved the rate increases, which would be 15 cents in 2017 and 2018, $0.09 from 2019 to 2021 and 2.5% in 2022 and 2023 for every cubic foot of water use. The average water customer currently pays about $6.58 per month in sanitary sewer usage charges. The city soon will be finalizing a consent agreement with the EPA regarding what work is needed, Gleason said. With the council's approval, the city will be purchasing a second Vector truck to be used in performing sewer maintenance duties. The cost for the truck is $298,000. We turn now to page 2, where we find this article of interest. The headline is Heroin Project Draws Crowd and Conversation, written by Justin Kahn. When Heritage Behavioral Health Center began showing documentaries about mental health issues at the Decatur Public Library's Madden Auditorium earlier this year, Monday's audience and the conversation to follow were what it had in mind. About 55 people watched The Heroin Project, a documentary set in nearby southern Illinois, addressing the nation's growing heroin problem. Then afterward, participated in a discussion featuring a panel of Heritage and Crossing healthcare professionals. Heroin has long been a problem in larger cities, but has recently spread to smaller towns and even rural areas. Heritage Chief Operating Officer Tim Mackin said, according to the most recent statistics from the Macon County Coroner, there have been 9 overdose deaths from heroin in Macon County in 2016. That brings the total to 36 since 2013. 2 people in attendance said they had sons who had died from heroin overdose in the last 6 months. Kathleen Arnold's son, Tommy Arnold, died at 32 years old in July. The discussion that followed the movie was ranged from the new medication-assisted treatment facilities, that is a collaboration between Heritage and Crossing, the types of medications available for opioid addicts, and the importance of counseling to go along with medication-assisted treatment. A major topic was the need for more inpatient services and recovery housing. Mackin said the waiting list for Heritage's inpatient housing is often 40 names long, but said the state didn't seem interested in funding new residential treatment facilities. Heritage Division Manager for Addictions and Criminal Justice Services, Bruce Engelman, said while having more inpatient services would help, the bigger need is for recovery housing, a place a recovering addict can go to live following rehab. When they get out of whatever treatment they've been in, they can't go back to the same house and the same environment, Engelman said. They need a sober environment that provides some support. Arnold said her son received inpatient care for 45 days and was placed into recovery housing, but it didn't have the structure he needed and he quickly relapsed. Quote, there was no one accredited there to help him, and after 45 days of being protected, and I think he hoped he would be successful, but with no one there, he wasn't there a week, Arnold said, and it was all downhill from there. Arnold has made it a goal to fight for funding and support of effective drug recovery and aftercare programs. Quote, I didn't lose my son for nothing, Arnold said. This can't be the end. There are a lot of people struggling, people who need care. My husband and I have to honor our son by doing what we can to take up that fight for them. This was the third documentary Heritage has shown at Madden, and Monday's event was easily the most well-attended. Heritage had previously shown the films Voices and Walking Man. Quote, this one, The Heroin Project, was different than the first two, much darker. There's no uplifting ending, Mackin said. So after that, I thought it was important to talk about the fact that this is hope and many options for treatment. Also on page two, we have this article with the headline, a Dateline Shelbyville. Shelby Board Reelects Leaders. It took the Shelby County Board less than 10 minutes Monday morning to reorganize for 2017, including reelecting the board chairman and vice chairman. Quote, we've got some big things ahead and it's going well, so we should keep things as they are, said board member Kenneth Barr of Herrick after the board reelected chairman David Cruitt and vice chairman Bruce Cannon. Future plans include renovations and repairs for county facilities. The board will also be appointing a new public defender after Amanda Aide Harlow was appointed an associate circuit judge earlier this month. Resident Judge Alan Bennett said attorneys interested in the position should submit their resumes to him. Moving on to page three, this article comes from the Crime and Courts Department, written by Huey Freeman. The headline is, From Jazz Musician with the Stars to Popular Circuit Judge. Thomas E. Little swears that he did not have enough talent to support his family by playing his trombone. But it did help him to pay his way through law school and landed him a memorable gig playing a concert in Atlanta behind Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. Little, age 71, who still dusts off his big brass horn on special occasions, found himself at center stage of an installation ceremony Monday for his promotion to Macon County Resident Circuit Judge. Presiding Judge A.G. Weber IV said the best judges are willing to take any case on the docket and will, quote, get it right as much as possible. Quote, no one epitomizes this more than my friend Judge Little, Weber told the standing room only audience in Little's fifth floor courtroom. Little has been serving as an associate judge since 1999, most recently presiding over cases including abuse and neglect of children, narcotics, medical malpractice, and mortgage foreclosures. He does not expect his daily responsibilities to change in the near future. Quote, it is a very challenging docket, Little said, adding that every Wednesday morning he hears 25 to 40 child cases. At this point, quoting, I won't ask for a change. If you can make a difference in the life of a child, it's pretty rewarding. Little was elected for the six-year term of the circuit judge seat vacated by the retirement of Timothy Steadman. He was unopposed during the Republican primary and the general election. He was sworn in by Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman, with Mary, his wife of 37 years, at his side. Little thanked his father, Ray Little, 88, for teaching him the value of hard work and Mary, who married him before he entered law school, for her sacrifices supporting the family. The couple has two adult children and two grandchildren. Mary Little recalled that after Tom graduated from Millikan University in 1977 with a music education degree, he decided that he didn't want to teach. Quote, he said, "I guess I can go to law school," she recalled. After graduating from Emory University Law School, Little landed a job in Decatur in 1982. He has fond memories of the night he played his trombone behind two entertainment legends. On March 10, 1981, Sinatra and Davis came to Atlanta for a fundraiser to support the investigation of the murders of 20 children. Little was right behind them at center stage, blowing his horn to help the cause. He has no regrets for leaving music for the law. This is a quote. "We have a great legal community," he said. "I've always enjoyed working with lawyers. They are most interesting people." A photograph shows Mary Little looking on with a big smile on her face as her husband Thomas E. Little, also smiling, shakes hands with Illinois Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman after being sworn in as Macon County Resident Circuit Judge on Monday. On the same page, we have an article with this headline, "Operation Sleighbell, Low-Cost Shopping Opens to Walk-Ins Wednesday," written by Teresa Churchill. Discovering Operation Sleighbell couldn't have happened at a better time for Robert and Caitlin Miller of Maroa. Newly moved back from Kentucky, where, quote, things didn't work out, the young parents are unemployed and expecting the birth of their fourth child any day. Quote, "The due date was 5 days ago," said Caitlin Miller, 21, a Clinton native. Quote, "They sure have a lot of stuff here to choose from." Operation Sleighbell is an annual, low-cost holiday shopping opportunity for people in need. The Millers, who learned about the event when she signed up for the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, WIC, were among scores of people shopping over the course of 7 hours Monday in the former Schnucks grocery store space in Northgate Mall. The Reverend Stephen Cecil of Westside Church of the Nazarene, the congregation that has spearheaded the ministry in Decatur since 2006, said he also has a full slate of shopping appointments today. But he added that for the second consecutive year, walk-ins will be accepted starting Wednesday, this time when doors open at 9 a.m. Quote, "The last couple years we've had 25 to 30% of the people making shopping appointments not show up," Cecil said. One theory is that anyone who does not get a Monday appointment thinks there is nothing left worth buying, which is far from accurate. Operation Sleighball started in 1982 by Judson Chapel Baptist Church in Champaign, is accepting walk-ins at its other shopping sites in Champaign, Danville, Neoga, and Peoria, starting at 9 a.m. today. Visit operationsleighbell.org for specific locations and rules. Decatur volunteers and veteran shoppers remarked on Monday about how full the shelves were with merchandise, practically all of it new. Quote, "The selection is fantastic," said Leona Scribner, 44, of Decatur, who was shopping with her fiancé for themselves, her two grown daughters, and four grandchildren. Quote, "My grandson looked out the window at the snow yesterday and said, quote, 'It's Santa time, Nana.'" Indeed, sleds appeared to be a popular item, as were clothing and toys. Families may purchase 3 gifts per person for $1, but are limited to 1 toy for each child 12 and younger. Some gifts, including cosmetics and craft supplies, may be purchased in multiple numbers for $1, while larger items such as coats and light fixtures cost $5. Quote, "This experience is an expression of how much God loves you," Cecil told shoppers after explaining the rules and giving them shopping cards indicating how many gifts they could buy. Quote, "That's all the preaching you get, unless you come back on Sunday." We'll take a look at the A3 briefs for Tuesday. The first concerns auto burglary arrests in Orianna. 3 juveniles are being held in a detention facility after a sheriff's deputy tracked them through the snow for more than an hour Monday during an investigation into a string of auto burglaries. The juveniles, 13, 15, and 16 years old, admitted to Macon County Sheriff's deputies that they committed 10 to 15 burglaries during the past 2 weeks. Sheriff Tom Schneider said Deputy Tim Hoffman worked tirelessly to locate the suspects and the evidence. The teens are scheduled to appear at a detention hearing. Anyone with information on the location of any stolen items or any burglary incidents is encouraged to contact the sheriff's office at 424-1311 or Crime Stoppers at 423-8477. Next, a Pearl Harbor event is being announced. Decatur Catholic radio personality David Slade of 88.9 WDCR-FM will be the guest speaker at a ceremony marking the 75th anniversary of Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. The event will be 10 a.m. Wednesday, December 7th at the Beach House, 2301 East Lakeshore Drive. The Reverend Miley Palmer, visitation pastor for the First United Methodist Church, will deliver the invocation and benediction. The event is sponsored by the Veterans Assistance Commission of Macon County. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the December 6th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.